Alliance of Women Filmmakers. This is Visionary Voices, behind-the-scenes conversations with groundbreaking women and non-binary filmmakers from around the world. I'm Diana Means. Talk to me nice. Talk to me honestly. Look in my eyes. Don't let it fall on me. Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. Today, we are joined by Heidi Bash Harrod, Executive Director of Women Voices Now. Women Voices Now uses film to drive positive social change that advances girls and women's rights globally. Heidi is an author and award-winning documentary producer who brings her extensive experience in international human rights advocacy to her role as Executive Director. Heidi, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Diana. It's wonderful to be on the show.
So we'll start with having you share a little bit about your background in human rights advocacy and what led you to Women Voices Now.
Sure. So I was very fortunate that in my mid-20s, I moved to the Middle East. My intention was to solve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So you can see how successful I was in that. When I was living in Israel and living in East Jerusalem, working with the Palestine-Israel Journal, I started to understand how in any conflict region, it's really important to understand the history of the place and what happened there, you know, before I got there. And that led me to pursuing a master's degree in Middle Eastern history at Tel Aviv University. And I ended up focusing my studies on women's rights movements in the Middle East. So I studied about Iranian women's rights movements, starting as far back as the mid-1800s. Then, of course, the women's rights movement there in the 1970s that then was almost completely stopped with the rise of the Ayatollahs in Iran in 1979. I also studied the women's rights movements in Egypt that also were happening in the 1850s and followed that. And then one of my professors pointed me to the struggle of Kurdish women, particularly in Turkey. And I really dove deep into the story of the Kurdish women of Turkey and ended up writing my master's thesis on that. And saw how outside of the Middle East, I would say many of us have this idea of these victimized, oppressed women with no agency and no capacity for change making and pursuing their human rights and dignity. And of course, the story is much more different than that. And as I was delving into these women's rights struggles and stories of the Middle East, I really became inspired by how much women do with so little resources and how much change is really happening all over the world right now. And so when I moved back to the States in mid-2012, I was not optimistic that I would get to put my master's degree studies into practice. But then lo and behold, I met Leslie Sachs, who was the founder of Women's Voices Now. And in the beginning of the organization, the focus was on women's voices from the Muslim world. And a friend of mine introduced me to him, and he was looking for a new executive director. It's a much smaller organization. And I got really lucky to just walk into this organization that was focusing on women's voices from part of the world that I had been living in and studying. And I couldn't believe it. And I got started with the organization then and hit the ground running and have been building it in coordination, cooperation, and great assistance from many incredible people and other organizations. It will be 10 years in August. So I'm celebrating 10 years as the executive director of the organization.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
As executive director, you have strategic and operational responsibility of all of Women Voices Now programs. Can you tell us about the different programs that Women Voices Now has?
So we have three main programs. We have our annual film festival, which is supporting emerging women filmmakers who are using their talents to showcase and tell the stories of women's and girls' rights struggles all over the world. And we say emerging women filmmakers because we acknowledge that women's lives are not of a linear trajectory, that a woman may have her opportunity to make the film she's always wanted to at the age of 92, or she might be 15. And so we honor that experience of women. And that's the reason why we are looking for emerging women filmmakers, that you can be experienced or a first-time filmmaker. And as long as you're telling the story of women and girls, then you have a place in our festival. So that's our film festival. It happens in March with a number of panels and an awards ceremony and opportunities for networking between jury members and filmmakers. And then we have our Girls Voices Now program. This is our youth development program where we work with girls from underserved communities ages 14 to 18 from the greater Los Angeles area. And we start with them for 5 weeks in the summer of intensive filmmaking training, but also really building their confidence. Like, who are they and what do they have to say? And how do they have the strength and the belief in their own voice to be heard and then to make a film that they can enact change through that film by showing it to audiences, by going through the program? And then we have their films at the end of the summer. We premiere them in Los Angeles in October. This year, it'll be on the International Day of the Girl. And then over the year, we continue to do enrichment programs, whether it's financial literacy workshop or holiday parties or editing workshops or any way that we can continue to not only foster their filmmaking skills, but also their inter and intrapersonal skills. And then our third program is our Voices for Change online film collection. And this is a free streaming film collection that can be found on our website that's featuring over 200 women's rights-based films in over 44 languages, covering more than 20 topics. And this is a resource that is really meant to foster dialogue. It's meant to be used as an educational resource. We've had screenings of films in our collection from different places, such as the World Bank in Washington, D.C., to a backyard in Abuja, Nigeria, to the Sequoia High School here in Pasadena, California. So it's really an international resource for anyone who's looking to supplement their women's and girls' rights programming with film to get conversation started and to look at things in different ways than they might have otherwise by watching someone else's story.
What was that program called again?
That's our Voices for Change film collection.
And you said that it covers about 20 different topics. Can you go into some of the topics that it covers?
Absolutely. So we're hopefully going to make it more simple because right now there's many topics and we want to make it a little more broad. There's reproductive rights. That's one that comes to mind, especially right now with everything going on. There's breaking stereotypes. There's young feminist activism, women and the environment, economic opportunities, political representation. So, I mean, it covers everything because women are obviously in everything and everywhere. So the challenge is to try to make it digestible for the viewer. But those are some of the topics that we have.
And then for your youth development program, the 5 weeks of intensive training, who do the girls train with and what are the ages for that program?
The girls are 14 to 18 years old. So they need to be in high school going into ninth grade through 12th grade. And we have a main media instructor who oversees the filmmaking training, you know, camera work, light, sound, interviewing etiquette, you name it. I'm not a filmmaker, so I always am learning on the way, but those are some of the topics that are covered, you know, storytelling, structure, even some photography to how to really capture, you know, the moments that happen in your documentary filmmaking. So our media instructor is there. We also have an assistant media instructor who's supporting the lead instructor. Both of these people are filmmakers in their own right, award-winning filmmakers, very creative people. And then when the girls break into their production teams, they are paired with a media chaperone who really helps to mentor them through the process and to make sure that the group dynamics are working well and to keep them on task if that's necessary, helps them with their shoot days. And then after they have shot their film, then they start working with a volunteer editor who helps them to learn how to edit, but also going through the process of what it is to give notes and how to really shape and form your film so it's a cohesive story. And then our year-round staff that's there is, we have our program director who's also overseeing and supporting the program. And through the Los Angeles County Department of Arts and Culture, we have an incredible intern for the past two summers as well. So it's a really well-supported program. And you can really see that the fruits of those efforts and that labor really come out and how much the girls develop over just a short 5 weeks. I get to go and teach them some workshops as well. It's like the highlight of my year is to spend time with them. And we also bring in lots of women who are in the film industry or who are really knowledgeable and really practicing self-care and showing really how to be your true authentic self in spite of all the challenges to being our true authentic selves that we have in the world, especially as teenage girls facing, you know, the issues of social media and bullying and the pressures of being an adolescent in high school. So again, we really try not just to give them the filmmaking skills, but also like the life skills of believing in themselves so that no matter what they do, and many of them do go on to filmmaking and pursue those majors in college and many other opportunities, it's fun to see that 5 years into the program, really how much the program affects their future trajectories. But for me, it's always no matter what they do, are they going to be able to stand up for themselves and believe in who they are and remember how special, loved, and talented they are just because they are here on the planet, you know, not because they're going to be filmmakers or the president of the United States. It's just that they are, and they have to remember that no matter what they do in life.
How do girls apply for this program?
So in usually April, we open up submissions on our website. We have a dedicated URL to the program, and you can apply there. We also have a network of teachers and school guidance counselors who we reach out to. Also April, May, when the young folks are looking for things to do for the summer. So it's social media, it's our website, and it's our teacher guidance counselor network and other youth programs too in Los Angeles. We have a nice partner network that they also help to get the word around.
And then for the women that you bring in during the program to speak to the girls, how do women, you know, who work in entertainment, who might want to be a part of it, how would they contact you or how would they join this?
So we also promote and advertise those opportunities on our social media. So Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn, also Twitter is where those opportunities will pop up. We will also advertise that in our newsletter. So if someone signs up for our newsletter, they'll be getting monthly updates on all of our programs and also our like volunteer needs. And all of that can be done via our website. Even if someone doesn't make it to help us out in the program, let's say this summer, we keep them on file and we reach out to them the next summer. And also during the year, because as we grow, we have opportunities to work with the girls during the year as well.
And who are some of the organizations that you partner with, not just for this program, but for Women Voices Now in general?
So we're really, really blessed to receive support from so many entities in Los Angeles and California and even the federal government. So we have support from the Department of Cultural Affairs in Los Angeles. And as I mentioned, the Los Angeles County Department of Arts and Culture. We have support from the California Arts Council, from the National Endowment for the Arts. And then there are many family foundations that are supporting us, which is really wonderful and exciting too, because as we grow, they grow with us as well, which is really nice. And then in terms of partnerships, so since 2017, we have special consultative status with the United Nations Economic and Social Council. So that really gives us access to the world. And prior to the pandemic, we were going to the Commission on the Status of Women every March in New York City to meet with 10,000 women's rights activists from every country all over the planet. And of course, that has stopped a little bit. Local organizations, we've worked with Global Girl Media, we've worked with The Right Girl, we've worked with Venice Arts. Those are the main ones that come to mind. And then when we're talking about internationally and folks using our film collection and also our festival, we have a longstanding partnership with the Porto Femme Film Festival in Portugal, the Female Eye Film Festival in Toronto. And at this point, we've organized over 136 events in about 15 countries. So there's lots of organizations that will reach out to us, whether they're working on domestic violence issues in Romania or refugee centers in the West Bank. We've worked with so many different kinds. I'm like trying to think of more names, but it's been a lot over the years. So lots of great partners all over the world who are also using film as a vehicle for change when it comes to the rights of women and girls.
Now, in earlier podcasts, I had the pleasure of interviewing some of the filmmakers who have featured documentary films in the film festival. Can you tell us more about the film festival and the selection process? And how many countries do you normally receive submissions from?
Sure. So our film festival opens in August. So that's happening very soon, that we're opening up our ninth film festival that will be opening up in August. And that starts with just general call for submissions. Again, we're using social media. We're using our partner network. We're going to be accepting films on more platforms this year than Film Freeway. I don't have those names memorized, but there are about 3 to 5 platforms we'll be accepting films from this year. Short.
What's the main one?
Film Freeway is the main one.
Filmfreeway.com?
Yes. Filmfreeway.com is our main platform for accepting submissions. That process opens in August and extends through about mid-December. Also, at the beginning of December is when we start doing the selection process. So we have a crew of volunteer previewers who start just watching everything that's coming through and moving on films to the next round. So in January, it goes from that first round of viewing to an internal selection committee in our organization, where we further have to narrow down the films to see which ones are really the strongest that we want to send on to the jury, which happens in February. And then the jury selects the winners from the pre-selected films and decides who is going to win the cash prizes. Historically, we have given $10,000 in cash prizes. This year, we're hoping to increase that by a few thousand dollars. because we want to honor sort of the different work that goes into a feature versus a short documentary. And in terms of the awards that we give out, we have a Leslie J. Sachs grand prize that is $3,500. And that is named after the founder of the organization who passed away in 2013. And we have a best short documentary, best first-time filmmaker, best human rights documentary that is sponsored by the Lantos Foundation for Human Rights and Justice. We have a best youth documentary category. And then we used to have an experimental category in our festival. And I really didn't want to give it up, but we really wanted to become a little more niche and really focus on women's rights documentaries. So the compromise is the best creative documentary. That's the category where we found it's very difficult to judge between a feature and a short creative documentary. And so we're hoping to expand the prizes in that category.
And who are some of the jury selectors? Who makes up the jury?
So what we try to do every year is find a range of individuals who come from academic background, activist background, festival background, or industry background. So we're really looking for people who are teaching about film as a tool for social change, or other women who are programming festivals, individuals who are filmmakers themselves. We really try to focus on making it a very diverse jury coming from different parts of the world. The more continents represented, the better, because our festival is very international. We get submissions from 40 plus countries every year. And so we really want different points of view. And that makes for some really interesting discussions when the jury is deliberating, especially when it's really tough to choose between 2 to 3 films for a prize.
Now, in 2021, you and Women Voices Now received a Daytime Emmy Award for your series, Girls Voices Now, in collaboration with Her Media. Can you just talk a little bit about what that experience was and the Girls Voices Now series, what that was about?
Absolutely. So we are so fortunate to be supported by Her Media, which is the largest LGBTQ+ streaming platform in the world. And while their focus is the LGBTQ+ audience and that kind of content, they also very strongly believe in pursuing social justice for all folks. And back in 2018, I think it was, one of our previous team members was on a panel talking about representation in media. And someone from Her Media saw her speak and learned about Girls Voices Now that way. And he said, "This sounds like incredible content. I'd love to see it." And then since then, they have been sponsors of the program. So we're in our 4th year of sponsorship. So what happens is once our films are made, they go onto the Her Media platform and they are packaged as seasons, basically. So each girl's team is an episode. And in 2020, I think, is when the process, all these years with the pandemic, they all like smashed together. So I can't remember when they chose to put the film that won Under the Scarf up for an Emmy. Such a funny thing, because I like to say yes to opportunity. It sounds great. Yes, of course. You want to sponsor the program? Fantastic. You want to put on your platform? All things check out. Wonderful. And then when they started talking about putting episodes up for Daytime Emmy nominations, I was like, sure. And then I couldn't believe when it was all happening, the actual process. So in 2021, we successfully won an Emmy. So 4 girls who made that film called Under the Scarf, about one of our participants, actually, who is an immigrant from Bangladesh, who taught herself English in 5 months by watching Disney shows, was really exploring that navigating of what it is to be an immigrant, what it was to be an immigrant in the time when President Trump became elected to president, when there was the Muslim ban. So in about 6.5 minutes, they really get so many important social issues in there, and all through the storytelling of one of our very own students. So it's a really powerful short film, Under the Scarf, and all these amazing young girls who are now in their late teens and early 20s have an Emmy sitting somewhere in their home. It's really incredible.
That really is incredible. Now, Heidi, in closing, tell us how we can support Women Voices Now, the website, the social handles.
Absolutely. So you can visit us at womensvoicesnow.org. Our Facebook handle is at Women's Voices Now, as is our Twitter handle. On Instagram, we are Women's_Voices_Now. And you can find us on LinkedIn by searching for Women's Voices Now. I highly recommend signing up for our newsletter, which you can do with a click of a button at womensvoicesnow.org. You'll get a monthly update on our programs and volunteers we're looking for and fundraising campaigns we're doing. Sometimes we have to have last minute calls for help, and our community really rises to the occasion, which is always pretty incredible. Another way to support us is if you're in Los Angeles to come to our live events. At this point, we have for sure October 11th, International Day of the Girl at Mount St. Mary's University, the Doheny campus in downtown Los Angeles, where we'll be premiering for the first time the four films that will be coming out of this summer's program. So that's an opportunity to come out and meet us, to hear some really inspiring teenagers talk about the change they want to see in the world, and to watch the films that they made. So those would be the main ways right now to support us. And of course, anyone can reach out to me at Heidi, H-E-I-D-I at womensvoicesnow.org. I always respond to my emails. It just may take a little while.
Thank you so much for joining us, Heidi.
Thank you, Diana.
Alliance of Women Filmmakers is proud to partner with Women Voices Now to present this podcast. Women Voices Now uses film to drive positive social change that advances girls and women's rights globally. For more information about Women Voices Now, please visit womenvoicesnow.org. And to learn more about Alliance of Women Filmmakers and other organizations we partner with, please visit lawomensfest.com. Visionary Voices is produced by Diana Means with editing from Otaku Media. Visionary Voices is a production of Alliance of Women Filmmakers and made possible in part by a grant from the Department of Cultural Affairs. Our website, visionaryvoicespodcast.com.